Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Joshua chapter 14. Once again, we're kind of jumping back into our series titled Journey Through Joshua. We kind of took a little break. It's been a pretty long series. This will be week 16 of our Joshua series, but because it's so long, we've had a few times where we've taken a little break, a few breaks here because of different things. And we took a little break 2 weeks ago, as we had Larry's daughter and son-in-law came and joined us from Cambodia. They are missionaries that have been serving over there for 4.5 years. And Mark came, Larry's son-in-law, he came and shared with us just a great message that really challenged us to think about who is Jesus to us, you know? What does he mean to us? Who is he to us? It was just a great message. We were encouraged by that. It was great having them. And then last week we had our family service, which I had a blast. And I just have to say, if you weren't here, I'm sorry, because I think you missed out. It was just a blast. We had such a fun time together. It was a fun day, just, you know, number one, just all being together in here, worshiping together, sharing the word together. We got a little crazy, you know, some crazy illustrations, you know, some fun. There was a little bit of rapping that was going on, you know, just, but in all of it, we were just having a blast, and it was just a good time of being together, just honoring the Lord. And then, afterwards, we had probably our biggest common meal ever. We had at least 70, 75 people that stuck around. I mean, we were packed out downstairs all over. Tables were full. It was awesome. And so we had about 75 people stick around for the common meal. And so it was just an awesome time. And I really left just excited about what God was doing in our church. You know, just it took me back to the early days of Acts, where it talked about they would come and they would eat together and fellowship together and be together. That's what it felt like to me last week, and I hope that we continue to see that in our church and grow in that fellowship. Well, so we took some breaks from Joshua, and this morning we're jumping back into Joshua, and we're going to talk about a man named Caleb. And the thing about Caleb is he's not talked a lot about in the Bible, right? But when you talk about him, when you talk about faithful men of the Bible, you can't leave Caleb out. He was an amazing man of faith who faithfully served the Lord. And so we're going to look at him this morning. If you want to read with me here together in chapter 14, we're going to read verses 6 through 15 as we look at a scripture here that talks about Caleb. So starting in verse 6 of chapter 14, it says this: "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me.'" And he was talking to Joshua because he said some things to both Caleb and Joshua. Verse 7, he says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 40 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly." And there's a little side note in there. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. And then it finishes by saying, "Then the land had rest from war. As I studied these scriptures, there were some powerful things that spoke out to me about this man, Caleb. I mean, Caleb, as I said, he was an amazing man of God. And so this morning, as I read over this, there were five things that stood out to me. And I want to point out five things that we can learn from Caleb and his life. Five things that I think just speak to us from these pages and from what we know of Caleb. And the first is this. The first thing we can learn from Caleb's life is we can learn about God's love for all people, okay? Now, we learn this not because of anything Caleb did. We learn this, though, from rather who Caleb was. You see, it tells us in verse 6 that Caleb was a Kenizzite, okay? Which means Caleb had been at one time a Gentile, all right? The Israelites let in this Gentile, right? He wasn't from the original tribes of Israel, but somewhere along the way, he had been adopted into the tribe. He had been accepted into the tribe of Israel. He even became one of the leaders of one of the tribes. So he wasn't born an Israelite, right? But he became a leader of one of the tribes. And we have to realize that though he may have been a Kenizzite, now, this day, he is fully 100% an Israelite, a child of God. He isn't lesser of an Israelite, right, because he was born a Gentile. And as we think about this and as we process this, it shows us something beautiful and amazing about the character of God. It shows us his love for all people and his desire to make everybody his own. It doesn't matter our past. It doesn't matter where we came from. He loves us regardless and desires to reach out to us and to make each of us part of his family. And when we become a part of his family, it doesn't mean, well, we're the adopted son or daughter, right? He doesn't treat us as an outsider. He treats us as part of the family, and we get to experience all of his blessings, all of his inheritance. You know, we saw this not just in Caleb and Joshua, but we also saw this in the beginning of Joshua, right? If you remember Rahab, as we talked about Rahab our second week, a prostitute from Jericho, but she was accepted by the people of Israel, right? Because she feared God. She believed in the God of Israel, and because of that, she was accepted, and she became one of them. A prostitute, Gentile woman, was accepted in and became a part of them, so much so that she ended up being part of the line of the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about that. Jesus is like 16th, 17th great grandma was a prostitute. Was a Gentile prostitute. She was accepted into the family of Israel. See, it doesn't matter where you came. It doesn't matter your past. God's love is for all people. And he wants to make each of us a part of his family. So one of the things we learn from Caleb is God's love for all people. The second thing that we learn from Caleb in these scriptures, we learn the importance of following the Lord wholeheartedly. In verses 7 through 9, Caleb talks about the spies that were sent out 45 years earlier. Now, I've referenced these spies a couple different times as we've been walking through this series. The 12 spies were the spies that Moses sent out to spy out the promised land, right? And when the 12 spies came back, you know, they all agreed at first. They said, you know, this land is amazing, right? It's flowing with milk and honey. They realized how wonderful and amazing, and they all agreed about that. But then 10 of them then began to say, but the people there are like giants, and they will destroy us. They're much bigger than us. We're like gnats to them, is what they said. Right? 10 of them said that, while the other 2 spies said, who cares about the giants? We have God on our side. God will bring us victory. Now we know those 2 spies were Joshua and Caleb. They were the ones that gave the good report. But Caleb was the one at that time, he spoke up the loudest, saying, surely God will go with us. We must go, right? And that's what he's referencing here at the end of verse 7 and then verse 8. He says, I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. You see, Caleb and Joshua both, but Caleb, as we're talking about this morning, he was following the Lord. His report wasn't based on human perspective or human fear. His report was based on his heart for the Lord and what God had told them. I will give you this land. I will go with you. It was based on what he knew about God. And because of this, Moses promised Caleb this very land that they had scattered out. He says it there in verse 9. He says, so on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet had walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Why is it so important that we follow the Lord wholeheartedly? Well, Caleb and Joshua, I think, show us this very clearly. The ones that didn't follow the Lord, the ten that followed the ten and allowed themselves to be persuaded by fear in others. What happened to them? They ended up dying off in the desert, and they never experienced the promised land that God had for them. The only ones from that generation, of those at that time that got to experience the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, who was the leader, became the leader of the Israelites, and Caleb, who was promised this land. Why? It was because they both followed the Lord. See, God's desire is that we would be people who follow Him wholeheartedly. That's what He calls us to do. We learn that from Caleb and the importance of that in our lives. Another thing that we can learn from Caleb from these scriptures. Third thing, the value of patience. Oh, man. Right? Isn't that a tough one? I know I struggle with patience, especially. Well, it's funny. I can be so patient in some areas, but in other areas, man, when it's getting places and driving and going places, I am very impatient. When it's time to go, I'm ready to go. When it's time to be somewhere, I'm ready to be there. I am very impatient. But in the scriptures here, it's interesting. There are only 2 places that record Caleb speaking throughout the Bible. One is found in Numbers 13 and 14. We see there, and that's when they went to spy out the land, and when he shares the report and he's saying, no, surely it's ours. And then here in Joshua 14, some 45 years later. Okay? You hear that? 45 years later. Think about that. 45 years. It was 45 years earlier that Moses told them, you will have this land. God will give it to you. 45 years he had been faithful. For 45 years he had been patient and wholeheartedly devoted his life to God. Now think about this, though. Because of everyone else's mistakes, he still had to wait. It wasn't him. Him and Joshua, they were ready to go. And if they would have gone, God would have given it to them at that time. But the majority won. They were the minority. And so because of that, the Lord said they would wander in the desert, right? And because of their mistake, he still had to wait years for the blessing that God had for him. And I can guarantee you, along the way, he had to put up with the grumbling, right, and the complaining of his generation for 40 years or close to 40 years until eventually they all died out. Because they did. They all died out. But he patiently waited for the land God had promised him. There is a huge value in patience. A huge value in waiting upon the Lord and trusting Him. You see, when we learn to trust the Lord and wait upon Him and His timing, then we get to experience the greatest blessings. Joshua waited, and now he was getting to experience some of the greatest blessings. But what if Caleb wouldn't have been patient? What if Caleb would have given up? What if he would have said, forget this? What if he would have tried to play the righteous card? We've done that before, right? I obeyed. I did what was right. This isn't fair. I deserve my blessing now. What if Caleb would have played the righteous card? He probably never would have received the promises. He probably never would have received this land that God had for him. And I wonder, as I thought about this, I wonder how often do we miss out on God's promises? Do we miss out on His blessings because we lack patience? We try to go then and get it ourselves, and we mess it all up and we miss out, right? Or we just give up and say, forget it. I'm never going to get it. You remember when God gave me that promise? It was way back then. I was fifth grade when the Lord spoke some promises into my life. And it's funny, all through my ministry, youth ministry, I thought, I must have missed those promises. I must have blown it. But I realized as I became a senior pastor, I'm seeing some of those promises come true that were promised to me, 1983. I don't know how many years ago that is. Do the math. 21, 31? 31 years. 31 years. And I'm seeing the promises now come into fruition and happen. Sometimes we miss out on God's promises because we lack patience. We give up or we throw in the towel, and in doing so we fail to experience His blessing in our life. And it's funny because these aren't in my notes. Just as I'm speaking this morning, I'm remembering these things to me. And I remember thinking, maybe that's just something I missed or whatever, but it was like I'm just going to faithfully keep serving the Lord. It's not going to change anything. And now I'm beginning to see those things in my life. Patience. We serve a patient God. Time to Him. What's the difference between a day or 1,000 years to the Lord? We serve a patient God, and we too must learn to walk in patience. Caleb was a man that walked in patience, and we can learn from him. Another thing that we can learn from Caleb in these scriptures, and this is a tough one, there is no excuse that should keep us from doing the work of the Lord. No excuse. We are good at making excuses, are we not? There is no excuse that should keep us from doing the work of the Lord. Caleb had been faithful. He had served God. He had faithfully served Him. The reality is he could have gone before Joshua here, and he could have asked for the land with the golf course. He could have asked for the land with the hammock in the shade, right? You know, with the lounge chair and the iced tea. He could have asked for those things. He had been faithful, but he didn't. Because that's not who Caleb was. He knows that's not who God called him to be. He may have been 85 years old, but he still knew how to wield a sword. He wasn't going to let this younger generation, you know, be the ones that took the land that God had promised him. He was ready to go, whatever he needed to do. And he wasn't going to let his age stop him from experiencing all that God had for him. You see, the reality is no one would have thought of Caleb differently if he decided just to sit this battle out, right? It's okay, Grandpa, we'll take care of this for you, right? No one would have thought differently of Caleb. And I think this is why Caleb is a challenge to all of us who might be tempted to come up with excuses of why we can't continue to do the work of the Lord. Think about this. The Bible tells us God won't give us more than we can handle. Well, if that's the case, then why so often do we give up? Why so often do we give up? He won't give us more than we can handle. Why do we stop doing the things that we should be doing? Is it because, well, we're too old? Or maybe we're too young. I can't do that. I'm not old enough to do that. Maybe it's because it seems too big. Maybe it's because it seems too scary. But we know the Scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's probably the problem a lot of times, right? Oftentimes, we see things the same way the 10 spies did. We see how big the obstacles are compared to us, instead of how Caleb saw it, seeing how small the obstacles are compared to God. We can't allow ourselves to find excuses of why we can't. We have to grab hold of the hope that reminds us that we can. We can through Him, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what we face. I want to tell you about an amazing woman that I got to serve with in Newburg. There's a woman in Newburg named Polly Seiler. About 10 years ago, she started an organization in Newburg. It may have been 12 years ago now, in Newburg, called Love Inc. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Love, and the INC is Love in the Name of Christ, is what it stands for. And it's a national organization, and she brought it to Newburg. And it's an organization that works together, bringing churches together to help meet the needs of people in the community. And so she had pooled, when I left, I know she had some 30-some churches that she had pulled together in this network to work together to serve the people of our community. And there were all sorts of things. She had churches, if someone needed food, they had churches that had food pantries. If someone needed clothes, they had churches that had clothes pantries. If somebody needed gas or a bus ticket, our church actually, Newber, we did gas vouchers and bus tickets, you know, and there were all sorts of things. If you needed a haircut, if you needed diapers for kids, if you needed, there were so many different things she pulled together, and churches and organizations to bless our community. And so when people had needs, they would go to Love Inc. and she would send them where they needed to go and take care of these people. And she started this amazing ministry that is just thriving in Newburgh today. But let me tell you a little bit about Polly. When I met her, I don't even remember if it started before I met her or if it was after I met her. But somewhere along the way, early when she started that ministry, and maybe even before she started that ministry, she started to lose her eyesight. Her eyesight was going. She is legally blind today. She can see, she can see light and movement. When I would walk into a room and there, she could tell someone was there, and she'd have to say, "Hello, can I help you?" And then when I would begin to speak, she had learned my voice. And she, "Oh, Darren, how are you?" She got to where she had to have huge magnifying glass to see things on the computer, to write things. She had to have people lead her around, because though she could see, she found that she would trip on things and stuff. And so when she had to go to appointments, when she had to go places, she always had to have someone drive her or take her. Now, amazing woman of God, and it would have been really easy for her as she started this ministry to have the excuse, "Well, I'm going blind, I can't continue to do this." But she didn't. The amazing thing to me was, it seemed like the worse her eyesight got, the stronger Polly got. It was amazing to see this woman. She didn't let her excuse because of her handicap or whatever you want to call it, she didn't let that keep her from doing what she knew God had called her to do. And it was always a challenge to me, because I can think of all sorts of excuses of why I can't do something. And here she's going blind, and she doesn't allow it to keep her from moving on. And she's a perfect example of Hebrews 11:34. We've heard the scripture. It talks about how in our weakness, He is made strong. I saw that firsthand in Polly's life. The worse she got, the stronger her ministry became. Why? Because she didn't rely upon herself and what she could do. She relied upon what God wanted to do in and through her. Caleb was getting old, but he didn't care, because he knew greater is He that was in him than he that was in the world, right? And he was willing to do what he needed to do. We can't let excuses keep us from living the life God's called us to live. Caleb didn't, and because of that, we learn the fifth and final thing this morning, and that's that when we live the life God's called us to live, then we get to experience His blessings. When we live the life God's called us to live, it's then that we get to experience His blessings. Verse 14 says, "So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. The land that he had spied out 45 years earlier, this land that he'd been dreaming about this whole time, wandering in the desert, everyone else is grumbling and complaining, and I just see Caleb just with a smile on his face, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, as people are groveling and complaining, thinking, man, I can just taste the fruit. Oh, the milk and honey, it's flowing with it. I am so excited. The land that he had been waiting for all this time was finally his. And it's because he was faithful to the Lord and to the calling that God had on his life. You see, if we're faithful to live the life that God has called us to live, then we can hold on to the promise that we will experience His blessings. We'll experience His blessings in this life. And it may not be right at this moment, but we will experience His blessings. It's putting our faith and trust in Him. It's being patient and following Him all the days of our life. I titled the message, Living the Life. That's what it's about. It's about living the life, right? Living the life that God has called us to live. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for Caleb and the encouragement that Caleb is to us, Lord. This man of God who was faithful to you. When others cowered in fear, he stood strong because he trusted in his God. And he knew that his God was bigger than any situation, any circumstance that they would ever face. And Lord, the same is true today. Lord, we face difficulties and challenges and struggle in this world, but you're bigger than any of those things. And your word says you will not give us more than we can handle. But the key to that is that we have to trust in you. We can't try to handle it on our own. We need to allow you to be our strength to handle those things, Lord. Teach us how to live lives wholeheartedly for you. Teach us, Lord, how to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be, to faithfully seek you, to faithfully seek your will and your desire for our lives, regardless of how scary that may look, regardless of how far we may have to jump out for you, Lord. I pray that you just give us that courage and strength to trust that you're God, and that you've called us to follow you and live our lives for you, Lord. We thank you for this word, Lord. May it penetrate each of our hearts. May it speak to us where we're at, as we're all on this journey of what it means to follow you. Maybe there are some things, some excuses that we've been making, and this morning you're challenging us to stop making excuses, Lord. Maybe some of us have lacked patience and got to the point of giving up or trying to do things on our own. Allow us to be patient and trust in your will and your way in our lives, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord, wherever we're at, speak to our hearts. Show us, Lord, how to follow you and how to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be, Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. Pray your blessing upon it and upon our lives this week as we go from here. Let us let our light shine bright for you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.